Cavalcade of Kings. King John, Episode 2. The continuation of the story of King John only brings into still bolder relief the base qualities of his character. His perfidy had broken his father's heart. His cruelty and tyranny aroused men to the heights of indignation. He had scoffed at religion and all things holy, and now he added the murder of his young nephew, Prince Arthur of Brittany, to the long list of his infamy. At the moment, we find Arthur's half-sister, Alice of Brittany, demanding retribution before the throne of Philip of France.
Grief fills the very room of my darling brother. It lies in his bed. It walks with me where'er I go and reminds me of all his gracious acts. Oh, Arthur, Arthur, my beloved little brother.
Would that I could comfort thee in some measure, little one, but mere words are such empty things.
Forgive my tears, your majesty. But fear me, I cannot control them, for my heart is breaking.
The world weeps with you, Alice. Aye, and curses the foul monster who sits upon the English throne who has caused your grief.
The people of Brittany do not weep, sire. Their grief has given way to the bitterest of hatreds for John of England, and they demand retribution, swift and merciless.
What is it they ask of me, little one?
That your majesty orders my brother's murderer to appear before you to answer for his crime.
I have already summoned him hither, but like the cowardly, guilty perjurer that he is, he refuses to defend himself before me.
Then, your majesty, am I to return to Brittany and tell my people that the murderer of their prince is to go unavenged?
No, my little one. Go ye back to your people and tell them that I, Philip of France, have issued judgment upon John of England, and that he has, by reason of his atrocious crimes and tyrannous deeds, forfeited his possessions in France.
No sooner had John lost his French possessions than he entered into a quarrel with the Pope, Innocent III. That Innocent sent Cardinal Pandolf, his envoy, to Dover, where we now find him with John.
What care I for Innocent III, nor his interdict, nor his excommunications and his threats of deposition? He can thrice go to the devil, for giving to him I will not. And you, Pandolf, can go back and tell him, sir.
Brother of England, are you blasphemed?
Ah, silence, thou meddling priest. I intend to stand firm against the Pope, and shall count his friends mine enemies.
Then, by the lawful power which I have, you shall stand accursed and excommunicated, and henceforth all men shall be released from their allegiance to an heretic, and may he be thrice blessed who takes away, by any means, thy hateful life.
Croak away, old raven, and may your tongue rot when you're finished.
As thy body will rot when Philip of France invades England and slaughters the tyrant who wears her crown.
What care I for Philip of France and his army of poppycocks? A mere handful at that.
Philip of France will come with a mighty host against whom you will be powerless.
Liar! Philip has no such army.
Do not blinder yourself, fool. Rome, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales have joined the forces with France against you. Treason is rife in England, and many have sworn to follow Philip when he lands.
May their souls rot in hell. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, they will take away my throne. I shall be imprisoned. Perhaps murdered. No, no, I can't bear the thought of what they'll do to me. Help me, Pandolf. You must help me, do you hear?
There is only one who can prevent your fate from overtaking you.
His name, quickly.
He is the Holiness Innocent III.
And his terms?
That you accept Stephen Langton as Archbishop of Canterbury.
Oh, that. Now I can be at peace again. Tell him I accept his terms and will welcome Langton with open arms. Now have him recall Philip and bid the others go in peace towards me.
Wait. It is not so easy as that. There are other conditions also.
Ah, Drotcho! Does the Pope want my kingdom as well?
Yes.
What?
His Holiness demands that you resign your kingdom to God, Saint Peter and Saint Paul, and to hold it ever afterwards by the Pope's leave on payment of an annual sum of money.
I won't agree. I am a free man. Refuse to become a serf.
Those are the terms of His Holiness.
I, John of England, become the vassal of the Pope? Oh, what have I done that this ignoble end should be thrust upon me? I, who have always been just and noble in all my dealings with my fellow men, I, who have never...
been yet... guilty of doing one fine action since you were born. Don't blind yourself with your own hypocrisy. But I am not come here to bandy words with you, but to dictate terms wherein lies your only hope of safety from the wrath of those who have banded themselves against you.
You mean if I don't agree, the Pope will set his lickspittle dogs upon me?
I mean that England will be invaded and a just punishment given you measure for measure. Arthur's murder has yet to be avenged.
I had no hand in that.
The people think differently, and they plan a vengeance. You have but one hope of safety, and 'twould be well for you to agree to the terms of His Holiness. For in His hands lies your security, your only hope of saving your own miserable life.
Very well. I agree to His terms.
Is well. Your crown will be handed to me before your people tomorrow at noon. And there also will you swear the oath of homage and fidelity to Innocent as your overlord. There also will you agree to pay a tribute of 1,000 marks a year to the Roman see, thereby giving the Pope political as well as ecclesiastical rights over England.
Let him have them then. Let him strip me of all my power. Let him do what he wills and be damned to him as long as my life is spared.
About Easter time, 1215, the army of God and the Church, with Stephen Langton, four great earls, and 40 barons, assembled at Stamford and marched to London. They met John at Runnymede, and on June the 15th, 1215, forced him to sign the Magna Carta, the basis of the English Constitution. It is now October 1216, and we find the Earl of Salisbury with Hubert de Burgh, who had regained the king's favor, walking in the orchard of Swinstead Abbey, where the king lay at death's door.
How came the king by this malady which causes him to scream in agony, my lord Earl?
Oh, 'tis said, Hilbert, that the king gorged himself with peaches and pears, and then guzzled great draughts of cider the first night he spent here at Swinstead Abbey.
Some patriot has poisoned him, more like.
It would not surprise me.
Nor I. Tell me, is there truth in the rumor that the royal treasure has been lost?
It is true, Hubert. Whilst crossing the dangerous quicksands of the Wash, the tide came up suddenly. The king and some of his soldiers were saved, but upon reaching the shore, they looked back and saw raging waters sweep down in a torrent which engulfed men and treasure in a whirlpool. Nothing was saved.
Ill-gotten goods seldom prosper.
Hush. Quiet. Queen Isabella approaches. Greetings, your Majesty.
Greetings, noble sirs.
Oh, madam, we seek news of the king.
He is more patient, but still suffers. He asks to be brought into the open air, which he believes will cool the burning quality of the foul poison which assails him.
I shall attend his Majesty and have him carried out here into the orchard immediately.
As well, my Lord Earl.
Madam, you mentioned poison. Is it your belief that the king has fallen victim to an assassin?
What else, Hubert? And think you not that 'tis a fitting punishment for such a monster?
I can well understand the bitterness which is in thine heart, lady.
Nay, Hubert, you cannot understand one grain of it. I was torn from the man I loved. I was carried by force on board his vessel, and there subjected to unspeakable humiliations. I was robbed of honor, virtue, reputation, everything a woman holds dear. And then when we landed in England, was forced into a mockery of a marriage with a brute beast who murdered Prince Arthur of Brittany. Verily, death by poisoning is a fitting end to such a loathsome monster.
This hideous suffering, the pangs of hell.
'Tis but a foretaste of the tortures that await him.
Hush. He comes this way, borne by his guards.
Oh, it is good to be out in the open again. Now my soul has elbow room.
Your Majesty is now more comfortable.
Rot your soul, Salisbury. How can I be comfortable?
Your Majesty is...
poisoned, dead, cast off. Oh, will no ingrate quench the fires which burn my vitals. Isabella. Isabella. Don't let me die alone. Don't leave me. I'm afraid. I can't face them. I can't, I tell you. Even now, I see their gibbering skulls and long, fleshless hands stretching out towards me. Isabella. Isabella, save me, save me. I hear a voice crying out in the darkness which is engulfing me. It is the voice of Arthur. Arthur.